Good morning. You're listening to 91.5 KUNV, and this is Neon Eden. I'm your host, Tovin LePan, reporter for the Las Vegas Sun. Last week, the Senate passed historic sweeping immigration legislation that covers everything from visas for high-skilled workers to agricultural labor and legalizing the status of the estimated 11 million immigrants residing in the country without permission. The Senate passed the bipartisan bill 6832, but now the battle for immigration reform moves to the GOP-led House of Representatives. Leadership in the House has been much more reticent to take up a comprehensive immigration bill, and it remains to be seen what progress will be made in the coming months. Our guest today is Astrid Silva, an advocate for immigration reform who was brought to the United States as a young child by her parents and recently received a work permit through deferred action for the Childhood Arrivals Program. Thanks for joining us, Astrid.
Thank you so much for having me, Tovin.
Now, sir, this has been a personal issue for you, and now you work with organizations that advocate for reform. And have you learned about a lot about politics and the legislative process as you've gone along?
I have. You know, growing up, my dad always instilled in me that politics was really important. But until I've become fully involved is when I realized how important it was, and also the differences of legislature to, you know, Congress, and even with cloture vote, most people don't understand that there's a vote to take a vote on the vote. So it has been definitely a unique crash course.
And I guess the first time you were sitting on the edge of your seat watching immigration vote, you didn't even fully understand, right, how many votes the Senate needed to pass?
No, I did not. It was in December of 2010. And, you know, I was at home with my other friend Blanca, and, you know, we're undocumented students. There wasn't as much of a momentum. And when we heard 55 votes for the DREAM Act, we rewinded it. And, you know, we were so excited because it was 55 votes and majority plus one, that's 51. So 55 is amazing. And then when we put it back to the live time and we saw the measure had failed, you know, we didn't understand why it had failed if there was 55 votes. So it was definitely a learning experience that they needed a supermajority, which was 60 votes, not just half plus one.
Mm-hmm. And before we moved on to sort of everything that happened last week and with the current immigration bill, I was wondering if you could tell the audience a little bit about how you initially you were living in the country illegally because without status, and your but you since gained the work permit and now you have a legal status. But I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about your sort of progression from maybe coming out and being more vocal and a public figure that people could see as an example of why reform is needed.
I came to the United States when I was 4 years old. My dad had been in the United States since 1989, and my mom and I joined him. And, you know, because of people that were not qualified lawyers, our paperwork was basically messed up, and my dad received an order of deportation because of this. Now, since the system is so archaic, we didn't receive word of it until around 2011 when the immigration came to our house and arrested my dad. And so it took from 1992 to 2011 for them to basically fix what the situation was. But in 2009, I had started becoming involved. I had met Senator Reid and, you know, become involved because I realized there were other kids like me. I thought I was the only undocumented student. I didn't grow up with a lot of other people that were in my situation. And getting to know other people, it just realized how important it was that we all needed to lend our voice to it, because we couldn't depend on other people doing it for us. And since 2009, I've been volunteering, working, and, you know, as you said, I now, thanks to deferred action and so much work of students all over the country, President Obama gave us deferred action, which means that we received a work permit. I've been able to work now at a place where I volunteered, and that, you know, means so much to me, the Progressive Leadership Alliance of Nevada. And so it is definitely a life-changing experience.
And now you were in Washington, D.C. last week. And what were your conversations like with, you know, Senator Heller and Reid before the vote? Were you confident that it was going to pass and get the full support of our Nevada delegation?
You know, we had definitely seen Senator Heller, you know, progressing on the issue. And, you know, a few years ago, we knew that there wasn't even a door to be knocked on with him. But thanks to everybody sharing their story and, you know, him realizing that this was an issue that was broken, not because the people wanted it to be broken, but because it was just, it wasn't working. And so when we met with him on Tuesday before the vote, and it was very positive. We gave him 80 letters of different immigrant stories and citizens that were really concerned from our state. And it was positive, and we were very excited to see him. And then we saw him also on Wednesday after he had given his speech on him saying he was going to support it. And we didn't know he had said the speech. We just casually ran into him. And I think now in retrospect, it was very, you know, it proved to us how much the people have been working on it. We met with Senator Reid Thursday morning at his breakfast that he has, Welcome to Washington. And he spoke about how it was going to be a historic day. And I think that since that moment, we realized how important it really was going to be. And more importantly, as a, you know, I've always said it, I'm very proud to be a Nevadan and to know that both our state senators voted yes on this and saw the importance of it for our entire state. It definitely fills one with pride.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously Senator Reid has always advocated for reform. Was it really meaningful for you to get Heller's votes and for him to come out, I suppose, and to support it ahead of time, maybe influence some of his fellow Republican senators?
I think that was Senator Heller and Senator Reid. You know, we're a very unique state where we have access to our elected officials, and sometimes we take that for granted. And knowing that we had that access to Senator Heller and Senator Reid definitely made 100% change from other states where we work with other undocumented communities. But with Senator Heller, it definitely meant a lot to our community because, as you said, Senator Reid has been a very big advocate and ally to our community because he knows how important it is to our entire country. But when Senator Heller said yes, I think that was the moment that I will remember forever because I knew that it came from our community coming together and, you know, letting him know that this was an issue that affects us and that he did the right thing for our state and our country.
And now, now Senator Reid, in his floor speech before the vote, he basically told your story and used you as an example for reason why reform is necessary. And what was your reaction? Did you know that he was going to share your story on the floor that day? And how did you react hearing it sort of there in front of the whole nation before this vote?
It was something that I will have in my heart forever. It was very emotional because I didn't know that it would be specifically about me. We had met with him right before he went to the Senate floor. And, you know, we've had contact for a couple of years now. And he said, this is it. And I think in that moment, it everything just sort of came to like this huge climax. And when he started talking about me, I started crying. I couldn't even hold back tears because it wasn't so much that it was me, but as he said, you know, I'm not there alone. There's 11 million other people like me in the United States. And I feel very honored that I was the sort of the vessel that he used to get it across. But it's true. It's our entire community. And, you know, there's nothing more I can be said than it was very, I felt honored, and I was crying for most of it, so I didn't get to hear all the details, but once I heard it, I watched it when I came home, and it just, I couldn't even believe it, you know, I felt like it hadn't happened.
Mm-hmm. And you were sitting in the gallery, right, watching the vote with fellow Dreamers, and Were you guys counting down? Was there a lot of tears? I mean, just as that build up to the 68 total votes in the end, what was that being in the gallery like for you?
Well, I was sitting with Blanca Gomez, my friend, and we had been on my couch in 2010, watching 2010 vote, and just being there and knowing that, you know, we had come this journey together, and seeing that it was full gallery, it was everybody sitting down, which is something that never happens, and Vice President Biden was there. There's no words to describe it. You know, you felt like this is what America is about. This is the pride that people have when you say I'm American, and you know, this is how our country works. Like, this is where laws are made. And to think of all the laws that have been made in that room and in that building, and it just, you know, it just felt majestic. There wasn't anything else that can adequately describe it. But you know, we were trying to count down, but at the same time, we were sort of keeping our eye on Senator Heller, because just the way we were able to sit, it was directly over his looking at him. And so when he said yes, you know, you're not allowed to show emotion. So we kind of had to hide ourselves because we were so excited. And again, it was just that sense of saying Nevada is on the right side of history in this.
Mm-hmm. And did you really allow yourself to sort of, I guess, fully celebrate the moment, or did you always have one eye on the fact that this is just, you know, sort of half the battle, that you still have to get the House to vote?
No, definitely our eyes on getting it all the way through. There was that moment of celebration, saying this is one hurdle, but we still have the House, and you know, Senator Reid said it in his speech. We have to go down the other hall if we want to get this all the way to the president's desk. And, you know, we were excited, but right, just as soon as we got out of there, we started getting calls and texts from people saying, what do we do next? And, you know, it was explaining to them that now we go on to the House, and people were more than eager to start writing their letters and start, you know, making phone calls right there. So we have to keep it all in perspective and know that this is one step, but we do still have to get the House.
Mm-hmm. And now you work for PLAN, the Progressive Leadership Alliance of Nevada. And could you talk a little bit about sort of here in Nevada, what organizations are doing and the coalition you've established to, you know, to get the word out, and sort of what activities are you participating in terms of influencing our politicians and the public?
Well, you know, there's a large immigration coalition with so many different organizations that are helping on it, and that have been helping on it for years before it was even popular. You know, with the May Day rally, there was about 32 organizations that participated in it, from the Republican Party to the Democratic Party to unions, AFL-CIO. They've been at the forefront with SEIU and culinary. With local organizations that are just, you know, Madres Unidas por Justicia, which is moms that are getting together, and, you know, Mi Familia Vota. It's an array that people don't expect, but it's a huge coalition of people that are coming together. Recently, we PLAN and Dream Big Vegas went to the rurals, to Winnemucca and Elko, and it was, you know, seeing people that are so eager to start helping just felt, you know, it's making it all worth it, because we know that, you know, this is one Nevada. We have one entire state. And it definitely, the momentum can be felt in anywhere that you turn when it comes to immigration.
Mm-hmm. And some other progressive organization, like Presente.org, I think out of San Francisco, or at least the Bay Area in California, they've sort of turned a little bit on the Senate bill after the border security provisions were put in, and adding way more border patrol agents and more money for security. I mean, do you share those concerns that maybe too much emphasis is being placed on a secure border, when a lot of some studies would argue that we already spend a lot of money on a secure border, and there isn't so much more we could do effectively along the border in terms of spending more money there?
You know, personally, as an undocumented person, I do believe that the border issue is something that it's safe right now, and we shouldn't be spending so much money on it. But from a political perspective, I understand where they needed the vote Hoven Corker part in order to get more Republicans. It's all about compromise, and although, you know, one of my biggest issues is Social Security, that, you know, all the money that has been earned by immigrants in their stay here, they'll never be able to access it. And I think that these border, you know, people, it's fear-mongering, because people know that there's no understanding to what really happens at the border, on any of the borders, Canada, the ports, the Mexican border. And it is just a method of scaring people into being so afraid of this that they will call their representative and say, we don't want anybody else here. And so while I do understand both sides of it, you know, I do think that it's a bit of a drastic measure, but hopefully that we'll be able to, you know, work with this bill, that it's not perfect. It's not the bill that, you know, I would have put out there, but it is a bill that can work for the United States.
Mm-hmm. And now you obviously, you've been following closely, and the next step is for the House to either take up this bill and vote on it, or to come up with their own legislation. And what do you think is going to happen next in terms of the House taking up immigration reform?
Well, I hope that the House isn't just using personal elections and their feelings on it. I do think that they should listen to their constituents, and large percentage of the United States wants this to move forward. I do hope that they are going to take up portions of the Senate bill. I don't think that the entire piecemeal is really going to be very effective. And so I do hope that they stay away from that as much as they possibly can. But from the sounds of it, you know, Speaker Boehner said the Senate bill wouldn't even be brought up. So I think that, you know, they need to govern and not quarrel over things that they have personal issues with.
Mm-hmm. And some of the House of Leadership has even mentioned that they see other priorities as being more important in terms of dealing with the fiscal crisis and budgeting for the next years. And are you worried that maybe some momentum will be lost if the House drags its feet and doesn't, say, take up immigration until the winter or the late fall?
Well, the momentum in the communities won't stop, and there will definitely be that pressure on them. You know, and I hope that they realize that this isn't something that is going to go away. This is something that needs to be dealt with now. There needs to be a solution to it, and we need to work together on it from all aspects, not just the undocumented in Congress, but the American people, you know, organizations, unions, everybody needs to have their say on this. And, you know, if they keep being an obstacle to it, it's only going to prove that our country can't come together to resolve issues.
And now we have obviously our Democratic representatives, Dina Titus and Stephen Horsford, they've been vocal supporters for reform and the Senate legislation. And now, but our GOP members, Joe Heck and Mark Amadi, we're not quite sure where they are. And have you spoken with either one of them on their position on immigration reform?
We've had conversations with Congressman Heck. We'll be attending his events that he has here in town. And, you know, I think that he's evolving on the issue, and we do look forward to him vocally coming out, just as Congresswoman Titus and Congressman Horsford have come out. We've had conversations with Congressman Amadi as well. And, you know, I do think that there's space in all of this for compromise and for people to come out in support of it. And I hope that, again, that politics isn't going to be what plays more in this than actual people and people that are dealing with this issue.
Mm-hmm. And how do you go about convincing, say, Heck, who maybe has more sort of constituents who will come to him and share their stories, but someone maybe like Mark Amadi, who maybe doesn't have a lot of immigrants in his district and isn't seeing this maybe face-to-face, how do you convince those politicians to come in favor of immigration reform?
Well, both districts have a very large percentage of undocumented immigrants. Nevada is one of the states with the highest index of undocumented immigrants. So it's safe to say that neither one of them aren't affected by it. But, you know, with both of them, we need to get them away from sort of this feeling of fear, as we said earlier with the border and all of this. We need to get them to realize that these are real Nevadans that have been living here, and that they also have families that are here. They, you know, they've established themselves in this country. There are small business owners. There are people who help out in the community, who volunteer, who have already established themselves within their communities. And to constantly deport them and spend money that we could be spending elsewhere is not smart for our state at all. And we hope that they're gonna see this and see how important it is. Like I said, we're gonna be going to all of their events, and we will have presence everywhere, because we know that sharing stories and making phone calls and emailing their offices is really gonna make a difference. And them knowing and realizing that politics does not play over people.
And now, Heck, there was a vote in the House a few weeks ago to deferred action for childhood arrivals program, the program you benefited from. And I mean, is that something, you know, when Heck votes for that, I mean, is that something you take personally? Have you talked to him about that and what that meant for the community?
Well, Congressman, both of them voted for defunding deferred action. You know, that was a very big, it was a very big blow to our community, and especially to those who have been helping and volunteering. And Congressman Heck put out a video saying why he had voted against it. And we found it unfortunate that he chose deferred action to be, you know, sort of the House's pet project on how to prove that President Obama is using his powers. We really wish he wouldn't have used that as an example. But we hope that they will learn from that. You know, everybody has an opportunity to learn from their mistakes and move forward with this and support comprehensive immigration reform and talk to their colleagues in other states and tell them, you know, this is why this issue is important. Again, Nevada has access to our elected officials where most other states don't. So most other representatives may not be hearing, you know, my story or the story of their constituents. And so it's really important that, you know, they come back from this, but that they also realize that it was not a vote that went well with the community. And the community is watching. I believe that a lot of people are underestimating how much the community is paying attention to this entire debate.
Mm-hmm. And now, it's also reported recently that Heck, I think in a talk with the community in Sun City Anthem, mentioned that anchor babies, quote, had to be part of the debate. And I'm wondering, I mean, does that give you pause? I mean, sort of turning in that direction, that sort of discussing the 14th Amendment and birthright citizenship, and that he would bring that up as something that needs to be addressed in immigration reform. Did that give you pause or concern?
It does. It gives me a lot of concern, especially, you know, knowing that in Congressman Heck's case, he's a grandchild of immigrants. And so we really, you know, that wording and using those themes are again, basically pandering to people that are in fear of immigration. And I don't think that is the way to go. And, you know, I think that hopefully we're going to be seeing soon how this entire issue plays out in our communities. But that it's not wording that is helping. The 14th Amendment, we all know, has been something that he has been fiercely pursuing. But, you know, if anybody remembers their own family history, it's important to see why it's important to protect that and to maintain, you know, the American dream alive, and knowing that, you know, your grandchildren will be American citizens.
Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, Heck's got a few events this week during the July 4th recess. A lot of politicians are back in their home districts, and he's holding a town hall, and then we'll be at a breakfast meeting with the group Hispanics in Politics. And what do you want to hear from him when I'm sure a lot of these issues will come up? And what do you want to hear from him when he addresses the community in the next couple of days?
That he's going to be supporting a comprehensive immigration reform, and that he will be there and telling his other colleagues why they should vote for it. That would be my ideal best case scenario, that he comes out and supports it. But if not, you know, to know that the community is still here and we're still going to be watching and we're still going to be going to every single event. And I think that the sooner that we all bring our solution to the table, the better it'll be for our entire state and country.
Do you think, I mean, now he's in a swing district. I mean, do you feel like there's heat on him to come around for immigration? I mean, do you feel like he feels that pressure, the political pressure of his election next year in terms of how he votes? And maybe that's why he's playing it so close to the vest right now.
Well, it should be a personal issue. It shouldn't be political. You know, we understand that, you know, the elections are going to come and go, and, you know, this is what they strive for, to be reelected. But we also want to make sure that everybody understands that this isn't an issue about who's going to get the next vote and who's going to get the highest vote. It's an issue about we are families that are here in our state right now that can be deported at any moment because of a system that is not functioning.
And I was wondering, you know, obviously you've followed immigration reform and the push. And I mean, could you describe maybe how you feel about the momentum now as opposed to 2010 and in previous efforts for the DREAM Act? Are you confident that it'll get done this year? I mean, and how do you feel how the momentum now compares to years past?
In the past, I think that we were organized, but separately. I mean, you had small fractions of people working, and now it's everybody. Everybody, again, is bringing their solutions and what they think should be happening. And, you know, I think sometimes it's a little frustrating to see that compromise is working more in our communities than it is in Congress, where that should be their bread and butter. And so, you know, I feel like there's never been more momentum on it. Even in years past, this has definitely been it. And I think that if immigration reform isn't passed this year, it will be something that our country, you know, they're going to start realizing more and more the negatives of it. You know, with the immigration reform plan right now as it goes, we would be putting money into reducing the debt, putting money into Social Security, putting money into everything. Immigrants contribute to our country. And I think that now should be when it happens. It shouldn't be 2 years from now, 3 years from now, hoping that the House is Democratic or that the Senate is Republican. That shouldn't be an issue. It needs to be taken care of now.
All right. Well, thank you, Astrid, for joining us. You've been listening to 91.5 KUNV, and this is Neon Eden. Our producer is Steven Zeller. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.